to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another all-new live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program, our award-winning weekly broadcast coming to you live from AM 1380 WLRM Studios right here in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station. We're also syndicated, of course, on the Liberty News Radio Network, libertynewsradio.com, where we're going out to their affiliate AM and FM stations across the country, and on the internet too, our website where you can catch us live or in the broadcast archives, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm your host, James Edwards, and I'm joined this first hour, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Keith Alexander. It is Saturday, May 1st. The calendar has flipped to a new month, and I tell you, Keith, with this new month comes a great beginning with renewed vigor. Exciting news with regard to the America First immigration reform debate. We are going to be spending, ladies and gentlemen, nearly the entire program analyzing every facet of the discussion that has come forth, beginning in Arizona with their great new law that has been signed into effect by Governor Jan Brewer. But that is certainly not the only state that is making taking proactive measures, I should say, on this vitally important issue. But I got to tell you this before I turn it over to Keith and we get this first segment started. We tell you, we do this radio show because of the great love we have for the issues that motivate us and for our families and for our people. And that is evident tonight because I was given some sort of wicked virus last week. My voice just came back to me on Friday. I couldn't talk above a whisper until yesterday afternoon. It was pretty bad. There are tornadoes all over the Memphis area tonight, to the east of us, to the west of us, to the north and the south. There is flooding. You might even be able to hear the air raid sirens behind us. I can certainly hear them now as I sit here in the studio. But through it all, we are here to bring you this show. If the studio was underwater, Keith and I would get scuba diving gear and we would swim down to the microphones. We will bring you this show. If it is physically possible, we will be here every week to give you this show, won't we, Keith?
We're strapped in and ready to blast off, as usual, here in radio-free America, trying to get the truth out by any means necessary, James, and we're going to do it. And let me tell you, despite all that virus and all that sickness, it's wonderful to hear your dulcet tones warbling over the radio airwaves again.
Well, I'm a little bit hoarse still, as people might have picked up on, but at least I can speak, which is a great amount of progress from yesterday. And Keith, sick, dead or alive, it's good to be with you as always. And, you know, we had a great and stirring Confederate History Month series that we just wrapped up last week. Of course, April was Confederate History Month. And now as we're getting back on to our more standard fare, there is a short commentary you would like to bring to the people at the top of the show that correlates Confederate History Month to the immigration debate that is going to be dominating our program tonight.
That's right, James. Basically, we wanted to offer a little epilogue to Confederate History Month because I know it's probably a puzzlement to a lot of people that listen to this show that are outside of the South in particular, and particularly people in Europe and throughout the world outside of the United States. They're probably wondering, what's all the fuss about Confederate History Month? That's past. That's dead. But as the great Southern author William Faulkner once said, the past isn't dead, it's not even past. And that's exactly why we bring it up, James, because it's not past, and events keep showing us that the past is prologue and that basically the past isn't dead, it's not even past. For example, we're talking about this immigration law in Arizona where the people of Arizona are having to take it upon themselves to enforce the federal government's responsibility to police the borders of their state and keep out an invasion of foreigners who are bringing the state down and are intended. This is not just a coincidence, people. This is intended. The intended result is to basically dilute the American electorate so that the traditional people of America no longer have any control over the government of this nation. That's what they're trying to do in Europe. That's what they've accomplished in South Africa. And that's what they're trying to do in America. And luckily, we have people who recognize what's going on and stand up. But the important thing to realize is that look at where the commentary is on this. We have the mayor of New York, Jewish Michael Bloomberg, denouncing the state of Arizona for passing this law. We have the mayor and the city council of Blue State, San Francisco, California, making overtures to have an economic boycott of the state of Arizona over this law. Meanwhile, in red state America, the state of Utah says we're going to pass a law just like Arizona's. So has Texas said the same thing under its governor, Rick Perry, who previously has made overtures about secession, having Texas secede from the United States if the United States goes further down this path towards, out-and-out and full-blooded liberalism. Likewise, Kansas has made the same type of overtures. They're saying that they're going to have a law just like Arizona's. Well, there's a pattern here. Notice that there's a very different response to all of this in blue state America versus red state America. Basically, the Civil War was fought not over slavery, but over this fundamental difference in political outlook and in societal outlook that's existed ever since the end of the so-called era of good feelings in 1824 in America. It's never been resolved. It's never been reconciled. The two groups are as much at their throats as ever. And again, talk of secession is in the air, James. What do you think? It seems to me like Confederate History Month, all the issues are still here, and they're right up, in the forefront of public and political events.
I couldn't begin, Keith, the words don't exist for me to articulate how elated and ecstatic I am at this monumental turn of events. And we're going to have Joe McCutcheon on, who is the Political Cesspool's resident expert on all things related to immigration. He was a founding member of the Minutemen Project. He has a website, ArkansasFreedom.com. This is his issue. This is his baby. So we're going to be talking to Joe in the second hour tonight as we continue a nearly full show's worth of coverage on the great strides being made pertaining to immigration. And one of the things I'm going to ask Joe is, am I making too much of this? Because in my opinion, Keith, 2 weeks ago, we were in the middle of Confederate History Month, just, continuing on week by week doing this show, which is having a great impact, as we know. But typically when people tune into the Political Cesspool, they hear us providing our unique commentary on issues that are detrimentally impacting us. So I think, at some point during the program tonight, people are going to be looking at their radio dial as they're driving through town and thinking to themselves, am I listening to the right show? There's nothing but good news coming from the cesspool tonight. And certainly, if things were going in our favor in this country and in the world, we would have more good news to bring to you. But unfortunately, oftentimes it is the case that things aren't going our way. And
see,
we feel
Arizona,
as though we need to inform you of that so that you'll be able to insert yourself into the debate and bring about proactive change. But tonight, Keith, seemingly overnight, we have what could be the greatest political manifestation of our issues being championed by state Republican parties that I've seen in my lifetime. I can't think of another time in recent years where governments in these respective states, Utah, Texas, Arizona, South Carolina. South Carolina is another one that's going to be proposing similar legislation to that of Arizona. I can't think of another time in my memory, in my lifetime as a political activist, where I have been as hopeful that things are really on the precipice of turning, at least on this one issue. Now, we're going to continue the debate And we're gonna see where it goes. And Keith, you've made some excellent observations on exactly who was behind this. It's not the Republican Party; it is the red state Republican parties. And we're gonna talk more about that as we continue. We're gonna read some comments from Pat Buchanan in just a moment with regards to this issue. Again, ladies and gentlemen, sit down, buckle up. We're going to get through this together. You're going to be excited. I tell you, we're going to bring some good news to you all night long. This is a very, very big turn of events, and we're going to be giving you exhaustive coverage of it tonight on the Political Cesspool. We're just getting started, but we're going to continue on right after these words.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, continuing on, ladies and gentlemen, once again, I want to apologize for my slightly hoarse voice. Again, a couple of days ago, it felt like I was swallowing nails. Every time I took a swallow, I got on some very heavy antibiotics and a couple of horse tranquilizers, and here I am. As long as there's a breath in my lung, I'm going to be here to give you this show. This is my duty, and it's my responsibility to all the great listeners we have around the world that have donated and given us their encouragement to keep this show on the air. And it's great to be with you tonight under such overwhelmingly positive circumstances as Keith and I are kicking off tonight's show by covering the great strides being made to protect our nation from the very dangerous illegal alien invasion that we've been dealing with for some decades now. And states such as Arizona, the Trailblazer, Utah, Texas, South Carolina, and others are coming on and saying they are going to implement proactive measures that are going to protect American families. And Winston Smith will be with me during the second hour. We're going to have Joe McCutcheon on as a guest. We're going to be blasting this for the bulk of the program. And Keith, I was talking to you earlier in the week about all these states seemingly out of nowhere coming together and doing something that, you know, we just couldn't have expected. I don't think we could have seen this. We could have predicted this a couple of months ago. And I said, you know, for so many years we have condemned the Republican Party, and rightfully so, deservingly so, and I have no illusions. The Republican parties, even in these states, could very well still fail us on these issues. They could turn the tide, they could water it down, or let it just be another dead letter law, another law that they don't actively enforce. We'll see. I'm not saying that the victory has been won. I'm just saying there's some good news for once. But I asked you, Keith, I said, you know, what happened here? Did the Republican representatives in these states find the key to their cojones and go unlock the box and reattach them? I mean, what's happening? And you made the good observation. It's not the Republican Party. It's the red state Republican parties. What did you mean by that?
Well, this is very encouraging because it's a whiff of rebellion to the controlling liberal elite cabal that runs both America, Europe, and every other nation, white nation at least, in the world. We've got to see this type of rebellion more often. Now, the red state, blue state dialectic is very important to understand. On the surface, all that red state means is that these are states in the United States of America that typically vote for the Republican candidate for president. Blue states, contrary to that, typically vote for the Democratic or the more liberal of the two-party candidates in presidential elections. But there's something much deeper involved in this red state, blue state dialectic. The red states of America are basically the old Confederacy projected into the present day. The red states are the old Confederacy plus parts of the Midwest and the interior West, which was, of course, settled by white Southerners who were refugees after the Civil War. That's why in all of the old Westerns you saw, the cowboys talked with Southern accents. Blue State America is the upper Midwest, New England, parts of the Atlantic seaboard, and what we call here in America the left coast, which has a strong Jewish presence in places like Los Angeles and the film industry and whatnot, so that liberalism carries over there. These two groups, basically, Blue State America is the manifestation in the present day of the outlook of the abolitionist, Unitarian, Transcendentalist New Englanders. And as we can see, the past isn't dead. It's not even past. This is the same split in the American electorate that led to the American Civil War, and we're fighting it right now in America. Now, the Republican Party is not the conservative stronghold of America, but the red states are, and that's why the red states vote Republican, because it's the more conservative of the two, but it's a very imperfect expression of the conservatism of red state America, the interior of America for the most part. Then the blue states are a much more perfect and appropriate expression of the liberalism of the blue states of America. And it seems to me that, you know, well, there's talk around about secession now, and basically if this thing can't be resolved, if they're going to insist, the ruling blue state cabal insists on ramming their viewpoint down our throat, perhaps we need to revisit the topic of secession. James, what do you think?
Well, Keith, secession is always in season for me, as you well know, and as anyone who listened to our, who has ever listened to the Political Cesspool during the month of April for the past 6 years would know, that secession is definitely a favorable notion for us, and it very well may come down to that. And if we don't secede, we very well may be balkanized unless we grab the immigration issue by the horns. And
the immigration issue is the main thing they're trying to put down our throats, because this is the ultimate solution. You know, they talk about the final solution in Hitler's Germany. Well, the final solution for dealing with the intransigence to the blue state outlook of red state America is the amnesty thing. They're going to flood us with people that think like blue staters. It's like Bertolt Brecht said after World War II in Germany. He said, if you don't like the results of the election, replace the electorate. They're going to replace the electorate, they hope and think, in red state America by flooding us with immigrants from the third world. And all immigrants from the third world are natural born Democrats, because they think that government giving them goodies is the only legitimate function of government. The idea of a limited government is an oxymoron to them, James.
Well, it is, but let me tell you what's not. And what's not is Pat Buchanan's column pertaining to the new Arizona immigration law. And as we reported week before last, Arizona is now being called a Nazi state. A Nazi state because they dare to protect their state sovereignty by attempting to secure their border. The, you know, if you want to protect your families from illegal aliens who don't share your heroes, who don't share your culture, who don't share your history, who are coming to take your jobs and spread disease, if you want to protect your citizens from that, you're a Nazi. But this is what Pat has to say, Keith. He is right on cue and jumping on this issue with his usual brilliance. And I read now from Pat Buchanan himself. And he says, with the support of 70% of its citizens, Arizona has ordered sheriffs and police to secure the border and remove illegal aliens, half a million of whom now reside there. Arizona acted because the United States government has abdicated its constitutional duty to protect the states from invasion and refuses to enforce America's immigration laws. Keep in mind that we already have laws on the books to deal with this. The federal government refuses to enforce them. We in Arizona have been more than patient, waiting for Washington to act, said Governor Jan Brewer, but decades of inaction and misguided policy have created an unacceptable situation. We have a crisis in Arizona because we have a failed state in Washington. Pat Buchanan continues, what is the response of Barack Obama, who took an oath to see that the federal laws are faithfully executed? He is siding with the lawbreakers. He is pandering to ethnic lobbies. He is not berating a Mexican regime that aids and abets this invasion of the country of which he is the commander-in-chief. Instead, he attacks the government of Arizona for trying to fill a gaping hole in law enforcement left by his own dereliction of duty. Pat Buchanan, very strong in this column. He concludes it by saying, Barack Obama has denounced Arizona as misguided. He has called on the Justice Department to ensure that Arizona's sheriffs and police do not violate anyone's civil rights. How can you violate the civil rights of an illegal alien? They have no rights as an American citizen would. But Buchanan concludes, Obama has done nothing about the rights of the people in Arizona who must deal with the cost of having hundreds of thousands of lawbreakers in their midst. Obama has done everything but his duty to enforce the law. So says Pat Buchanan. We have that column on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Great column, Pat. Great things happening in America right now on immigration. We'll be back to talk more about it right after this.
Don't go away, the political cesspool guys. We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, I hope you picked up on the level of excitement that I tried to exude in reading that last segment. Coming straight from the heart, Pat Buchanan was right on target. Barack Obama has done everything but his duty to enforce the law. He is siding with the lawbreakers, siding with the illegal aliens who are not even citizens of this country. But the federal government be damned. The state governments, for the first time really since 1861, are doing something in defense of their own self-interest. And I couldn't be happier. Keith, in the 6 years I've been doing this show, and again, we could come back next week and all of these states, you know, get back in lockstep with the cultural Marxists. I can't tell you if they're going to hold the line, but I can tell you what's going on right now, and it's exciting. It's as exciting as I have been.
It's a whiff of rebellion, James. And
it's
that's
as exciting
what we
as
need.
I've been
and
in the 6 years we've been doing the show.
Carry on and get even bigger and better, because what's happening here, ladies and gentlemen, is that finally, we're seeing people waking up across the nation, particularly across red state America, to the tyranny of the left. Now, who was it? You know, Pat Buchanan said that Arizona is being called a Nazi state. Now, who was it that called Arizona a Nazi state? None other than that apostate priest, Cardinal Roger Mahoney of Los Angeles, famous amnesty guy who wants to build the Catholic Church by bringing all these ready-made Catholics from Mexico in. And he doesn't give a darn about the nation. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you belong to a church like that or any other organization, you know, the cultural Marxists long marched through the institution, has gone through academia, it's gone through the churches, as this shows. What have we always said? What's the only sound that a liberal fears? The sound of a closing purse. You need to stop supporting groups like the Roman Catholic Church that are supporting the illegal aliens and the amnesty movement. Let them know that you don't appreciate that type of backstabbing, that there's nothing in the Christian faith that requires that type of response. And if they want that, well, then they can try to live off of the pittances they get from the Mexican immigrants. They can throw a couple of pesos in that collection plate and let them try to live on that. Go for it, man. Let's hit them where it hurts.
Well, I'll tell you, Keith, the state governments in, you know, we added to the list now, doing some research in the break, Arizona, Texas, Utah, and South Carolina, we know, but now Missouri has been added. You know, we've said it on this show 100 times, Keith, you can't have a first world nation if you've got a third world population. I've said it on CNN.
They intend for us to have a third world population, James.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they intend for us to do, because they have tried for over 100 years to change our viewpoint, and they can't do it.
Well, we have got links on our blog. Check it out, thepoliticalcesspool.org. All of these states that we've mentioned are now planning to introduce similar bills to that of Arizona's new immigration law. And, of course, the Arizona law, in turn, is modeled on federal immigration law that just goes unenforced, and we've got some links there that prove that. But Texas, we've got the link to the good news from Texas, where Representative Debbie Riddle is going to be introducing the measure. In Utah, Representative Steven Sandstrom is going to be introducing a similar measure, and he goes on record saying that. This is truly, Keith, a fire that is spreading through the grassroots. The strides being made on this issue have given me more hope, legislatively speaking.
On the left, on the right side, you got Governor Rick Perry, Republican, Texas; Governor Jan Brewer, Republican, Arizona. Again, it's not the Republican Party generally or the Democratic Party. It's the blue state Democrats versus the red state Republicans. Michael Bloomberg, Jewish multi-billionaire mayor of New York, was one of the most vocal critics. Of course, Gavin Newsom, the gay-friendly leftist mayor of San Francisco, was the one who threatened to boycott. This is where it's just breaking out perfectly, according to the analysis that we've offered time and again of red state versus blue state America. That's where the real fissure is in America, and it's the same fissure that caused the Civil War, James.
Well, it is, Keith, and I'll tell you, just as enthusiastically as those Confederate partisans reacted when their states decided to do the right thing and fight for independence, fight for state sovereignty at the onset of that horrible war.
Fight tyranny.
Yeah, you know, fighting tyranny. So are the residents of these states reacting just as enthusiastically. 2 weeks ago, and if you go on the blog, we document this. If you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, 2 weeks ago, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer had an approval rating of just 40%. Now, her approval has skyrocketed to 70% approval rate, as Pat Buchanan mentioned. That's a jump of 30 points in 2 weeks, all because of her stand on immigration. And now, as we mentioned, not just Utah, Texas, South Carolina, and Arizona. Now we can add Missouri to the rapidly growing list of states that is thankfully taking matters into their own hands in order to protect their citizens from the lawless alien invasion. In Missouri, Representative Mark Parkinson of St. Charles is now floating a bill that would change Missouri's immigration laws to more closely match the new law in Arizona. Keith, isn't it amazing? I've always said this, though, on this show. As much as we have to bring disturbing news to the attention of the audience, listen, it does us no good to behave as the ostrich and bury our heads in the sand. Even if the news is bad, we still need to be aware of it. But now we've got good news, and I've always said if our issues could become fashionable, if we could just find a way to make them in vogue and get some momentum behind them, people would follow in, because fundamentally the vast majority of the American electorate believe in the issues that the political cesspool champions. And now we're seeing it. Now, just because Arizona stood up and acted as a trailblazer on this issue, you now have, in less than a week's time, a half a dozen other states already standing at the ready. Keith, this is a major grassroots rebellion. This is a phenomenon. And I don't want to have to come back
exactly
next week
right,
again. I'm
James.
Saying that it's at the point of sounding repetitive. I would hate to have to come back next week and say, well, look, now they've all changed their mind again. But as of right now, news couldn't be better. And the immigration issue
is
probably one of the biggest issues pertaining to the survival of our European-American country, ethnically, culturally, so on and so forth. This is one of the biggest issues that we have to address. It's immigration,
and it is the issue that is being addressed. Our part, it's never going to be in vogue in blue state America to hold red state American ideals. Basically, what we need to learn to do is to studiously ignore the Jewish-controlled media that sets the so-called standards of what's polite conversation and what isn't in America. We can tell that we've struck a nerve with this by the incredible overreaction that this Arizona law has received from the liberals in blue state America. They are going ballistic. So we're quite frankly digging close to where they have the bodies buried, and they know it. They know that they were trying to sneak this one past the Indian camp on us, and if they had been able to declare this amnesty, then it's all over but the shouting as far as the red state traditional American viewpoint ever gaining control again. This is our last chance, folks. The left knows it. We had better understand it, and we better really fight to the finish on this thing, because we wouldn't be drawing all of this opprobrium from the left if this were not a vitally important issue, James.
Well, Keith, it's spreading like wildfire. This week has proven that some pockets of this country may yet still have a pulse. Arizona fired the first volley at the cultural Marxists by passing the sensible immigration law that will put its citizens first. All of these other states that we just mentioned are now standing up and following suit. And sometimes it's all it takes is a few people to stand up and everyone else will follow. I think we've done that to an extent on this radio program with the large following that we have. It just takes leadership. And if you provide it, everyone else who already agrees with you will come in.
And all we're asking them to do, all Arizona is asking them to do and the rest of Red State America is asking the federal government to do is enforce its own laws that are on the books. There's nothing but duplicity involved that these people, the blue state people are, you know, they would climb on the roof to tell a lie rather than stand on the ground to tell the truth.
Well, and keep,
that they try to impose laws on us, but they blithely ignore laws when it doesn't suit their ends.
In Alabama, Keith, as you know, they haven't yet proposed a bill similar to that of Arizona's, although between now and next week, we expect more states to follow suit. But in Alabama, a major Alabama Republican gubernatorial candidate has come out in favor of the English language, saying in campaign ads that this is Alabama. We speak English. If you want to live here, learn it. And you'll probably be shocked to hear this, but the liberals are calling that a racist policy. The Obama administration has been threatening to withhold federal funding from Alabama and from all of these other states who are making America First strides on immigration. And to that I say, give
Bring
them
it
hell, off. People. Hold the line and steady the course. We're going to be talking more about it right after this. I am so excited. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, wrapping up the first hour here, but the first hour only because it's a three-hour show, and we've got much more to come tonight as we continue to blow it out with regard to the immigration debate that is taking a turn for the best here. We're jubilant. We're exuberant here in the Political Cesspool.
Now, don't lose your voice, James.
Yeah, I tell you, it's exciting, but not everyone is so excited. Winston Smith is going to join me at the top of the second hour as we continue our coverage on the immigration issue. And Winston, I talked to him just before the show. He said he was on CNN's website. They had 12 headlines covering the immigration debate. And all of them were talking about how bad of a measure it was out of Arizona. And the reason that they talk about how bad it is, ladies and gentlemen, is because the people who control the establishment newspapers are not the kind of people who are going to stand up to put America first. They're not representative of the 70% of the population of Arizona who do favor it. I guarantee you, every major daily newspaper in Arizona denounced the immigration bill when it passed, even as 70% of that state was for it. There's a big disconnect there. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, donate to shows like ours who represent the voice of American conservatism. And the voice of American conservatism is the voice of America. This is still a fundamentally conservative nation, paleo-conservative, whatever you want to call it. And we need our voices to be heard. If you relied on the mainstream press to give you your daily bread, you would think that everybody in this country, including the states who are moving forward on this legislation, are against it. That is not the truth. Donate to the Political Cesspool. This is a listener-supported program. Donate and allow shows like ours to continue to echo your thoughts on mainstream broadcast airwaves. But Keith, it's not just the major newspapers and the major media that is coming out, the mainstream media, so-called, that is coming out against these measures that most Americans are in favor of. The so-called civil rights leaders are promising lawlessness in response to these immigration bills. The so-called peaceful and tolerant civil rights activists are once again up to their old tricks from the 1960s by threatening riots, violence, and promising not to abide by the new law in Arizona. This story out of Phoenix says that United States Senator Raul Grijalva,
Representative James.
United States Representative. He'd be a congressman then. United States yep. Representative Raul Grijalva, Democrat out of Arizona.
Told 3,500 protesters gathered at the state capitol that the Obama administration can help defeat the Arizona law by refusing to cooperate when illegal immigrants are picked up by the local police and turned over to federal immigration officers. And again, it comes right back to the same story. These Tea Partiers and these neocons and rhinos, Republican in name only, that keep trying to say that the civil rights movement was righteous and that Martin Luther King was conservative. This, again, shows how wrong they are. This Representative Raul Grijalva or whatnot, some Hispanic guy, would not have been elected to the Congress had it not been for the Liberal Voting Rights Act of 1965, which allowed and mandated the Justice Department to racially gerrymander minorities into positions of authority. This man would never have been elected at an at-large election in Arizona because 70% of the people in Arizona are opposed to amnesty and illegal immigration. He's for it. And that's exactly, you know, it's like, you know, why are we surprised that these people are after, you know, that they support this. Civil rights leaders have always done this. The sainted Martin Luther King Jr., that purported exponent of Gandhian principles, seemed to have left rioting, pillaging, and looting in his wake everywhere he went. But the Heritage Foundation website, you know, that wonderful neocon outfit that's always advertised in glowing terms on the Sean Hannity Show and on the Rush Limbaugh Show, contains a featured article called The Conservative Legacy of Martin Luther King. When I first read it, James, I thought it was a typo. I thought they meant to say the communist legacy of Martin Luther King. I'm sure that'd be less popular with the neocons, but much more, much closer to the truth. What do you think, James?
Well, Keith, you couldn't be more right. I mean, it would be entirely accurate, but these people are obviously following in the communist and unlawful footsteps of their predecessors in the 60s, because here you have this United States congressman out of Arizona saying, and I quote, we're going to overturn this unjust and racist law. It's racist if you want to keep America for Americans.
If you want America to enforce its own immigration laws, and that's all Arizona's doing, James, they basically have passed a duplicate law, just like the federal law that is on the books about this. It's 8 U.S. Code number 1304.
Right, it's America.
They have made that the Arizona image. Law now because the federal government won't enforce its own laws.
That's right. It's a mirror image of the federal law that all the states should be following. But this United States Congressman Grijalva out of Arizona says we're going to overturn this law and then we're going to overturn the power structure that created this law. So what does he mean by that? What he means is he's going to overturn the government of Arizona. He's going to overturn the citizens of Arizona. And you know, Keith, let me say this also. Keith, let me say this also. I got to say this.
The President of the United States will back him, James.
His cohorts are saying that they are going to take to the streets and invite arrest by refusing to comply with this law. Let me read that again, Keith, and I'm going to toss it back over to you. The followers of Representative Grijalva have...
I can't pronounce it either, James.
Well, whatever his name is, you know, whoever he is, his followers are saying that they're going to take to the streets and invite arrest by refusing to obey the law. Now, I wonder what would happen if a white conservative activist proudly declared that he or she wasn't going to abide by the law, and that they were going to work to overturn the government. I'm just asking. Minorities have learned, though, Keith, over
the
years, minorities have learned over the course of the past
half
century. Keith, they've learned over the course of the past half century that things will eventually work out to their liking if they simply act out and show out whenever they're upset. This is childish behavior that should never be rewarded by a mature society. Keith, your take.
Well, exactly right. And again, you know, we've been bombarded recently with these elaborate state funerals for so-called civil rights icons. And have you noticed they're all doctors? Not one of them is a medical doctor, but we had Dr. Benjamin Hooks. with his four-hour funeral on CNN. We had Dr. Dorothy Height with Barack Obama boo-hooting before the public cameras before at her funeral about her wonderful legacy. And all of this is based, all this idolatry, James, is based on the wrong major premise notion that blacks and blacks alone are responsible for their victory in the civil rights movement. Quite frankly, blacks by themselves can't organize a two-car funeral. If it had not been for Jewish wealth, Jewish intelligence, Jewish organizational skills, and Jewish media control, none of it would have gotten over, gotten off the ground. And that's exactly what's going to happen again in the Arizona law. Everything that you hear on CNN, the mainstream media, ABC, NBC, CBS, in your local daily newspaper, which is part of a blue state syndicate, is going to be negative about this, where the majority of the American population finds its voice, James, is on shows like The Political Cesspool. This is where we get to speak, and it just shows you how disenfranchised we are that we on this thread, threadbare budget that we have to operate this radio program carry that incredible responsibility of giving voice to most Americans and their viewpoint on issues like this.
Yeah, I saw a picture in the USA Today of Barack Obama pretending to cry at the funeral of Dr. Dorothy Heights. And, you know, it's all just a stage show. But listen, I'll tell you what. And everything Keith said is accurate. And I know we're both excited tonight. We're both trying to talk and get all, you know, a little more tenacity to our voice. And it is because, you know, for the first time in so long, we have great news, not from a grassroots level, but from a legislative level. And there's a big difference. And we're going to continue to talk about that in the second hour. We've got just a few seconds left before we go into that second hour. Winston Smith will join me. We're going to hear from Joe McCutcheon, who is the Political Cesspool's correspondent on all things related to immigration, continuing on this big May 1st blowout as we cover all of the angles coming from this immigration debate that we have discussed with so much fervor here in this first hour. Keith, thank you for your service as always, my friend, and making yourself available to help us sort through the good, the bad, and the ugly here. We'll talk to you next week, and have a good one, bud.
Okay, and the South will rise again, James. Just remember that. That's what we're doing now.
That's what we're doing, and we're going to continue to do it right after you hear these words from our sponsors. Remember, folks, support the Political Cesspool. Go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Send us an email. Join our email list. Make a contribution that will help this show grow and continue to
1 hour down,
convert more conservative minds. We'll be back.
Stay tuned. Hour number two of The Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and said, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Baptist Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.